You're listening to a message that we hope will help you grow and have a deeper relationship with God and others.
Now, we are landing our four-part series entitled Thank God It's Monday. And as you know, this series was entitled as such because it was all about work, and it was a discussion for the last 3 weeks on what work is. And we said that work is not merely your job, and work is not merely an employment, and it's not simply what occupies your time, or it's not even the career that you do. Work, we said, in the Hebrew word, was the word abad, which literally means blessed labor, which is why a mother who works and cares for her daughter or her son, works probably 7 days a week, is blessed in the midst of that, though she does not get paid and she's not employed, and that's not her just her occupation or her career. But my wife was a mother from the time our kids were born. But in 1989, she literally quit her job to go home and to raise her children because she felt that that was more important, the work that's just as important as the work that she was. She was a graphic designer, she was a writer, and she was we owned a design studio. And she decided in 1989 that she was going home because it was blessed labor for her. Now, we summarized this last 3 weeks with the God who works. We talked about Genesis 1, which starts out with talking about the God who works, and the God who works excellently, but at the same time, the God who works for a purpose or with a purpose. We follow that up the following week with the God that works, or the work that works, rather. We talked about Joseph and that there is a kind of work that works. And we talked about work that comes from God, working for God, and work that is working with God. And then we landed that last week with the man that works. And we looked at the study of the book of Proverbs. We talked about the hands that have to have hard work, and that hard work creates diligent hands bring wealth, and lazy hands make a man poor. And then we talked about the head, the importance of smart work, and then we talked about the heart, the importance of wise work. And we looked at the different aspects of these things, and we talked about the Proverbs 31 woman, the significance of this woman's life that had character and confidence, who was capable and at the same time consistent about her work, and the result of that work was competence and credibility. Her husband praised her. And so we're ending this series in light of this reality, and I want to read to you a quote from John Stott. John Stott was one of the foremost theologians in the previous century, and he just died in 2011. But this quote is a classic in understanding how work works and summarizes the series for us. John Stott said, "Work is the expenditure of energy, both manual and mental, or both," he says, "in the service of others, which brings fulfillment to the worker, benefit to the community, and glory to God." Interesting. He says, work is the expenditure of energy. If you're not expending energy, you're not working. You're wishing. Working requires the expenditure of energy in service of others, he says. In other words, what you're doing, if you're milking a cow, you're not doing that so you can get paid. You're doing that to serve others. In fact, the only reason why you should be paid is because you're serving others. You're producing something for other people. And then he says it doesn't just do that. It brings you fulfillment. That milk that you milk, or that cow that you milk, and the milk that you milk, is something that will fulfill others, and that gives you fulfillment. The thing that I'm doing is helping a baby out there. It's helping a child grow. It's helping a mother gain calcium, and she's not going to have back problems, etc. And so the point is, there's a fulfillment, and at the same time, it's just not just fulfill them, it fulfills you because you get paid for it and you do quality work, and there's a sense of fulfillment and joy that comes with it. That goes for an architect, a driver, whoever it is that's doing something. There's a level of fulfillment that comes, there's a service that's expended, and there's a service to others, and then there's a benefit to the community. When that milk is taken by that child, when that milk is taken by that mother, whatever the result of that to their health benefits the community at large. And finally, it glorifies God because it's almost like God supplies the milk through you. And I love John Stott's idea of work because it speaks of work as integrated. And what tends to happen is we separate work from the integrated life, and we make it like a standalone unit. So what happens is it becomes about money. It becomes about just the job. it becomes just about the career when the reality is our work is supposed to be an integrated thing that works together. In fact, we find in the book of Proverbs 31, verse 20, it says that the wise woman who works at some level even touches society at large. And she says she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hand to the needy. It affects people in poverty. I like this verse in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Let the thief no longer steal. How many of you are thieves in the room? There's nobody, amen? Hope so, hopefully. Now, the point is, if you were, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with your own hands, with his own hands, so that he may have something to share even with someone in need. The point of work is not just for you to get paid and enjoy life and have leisure. The point of work is service, which fulfills you, which affects community, which glorifies God, and at some level should actually be impacting and helping others who are in need. Now, in summary, integrated work, as we've said earlier, is in service of others. It's fulfillment of the worker. It's the benefit to the community and the glory to God. Now, there is such a thing as disintegrated work. And this kind of work is in service of self. I'm doing this so I can get paid. I'm doing this so I can get recognized. It's not the fulfillment for the worker. It's actually the loss of fulfillment. And here's the reason why that happens. The minute you start working for not the right reasons, and particularly what happens is we work for either money, for the applause of men, for the promotion, changes the dynamic. Because what tends to happen is when you don't get those, you stop working. If you don't acknowledge me, or if you don't applaud me, or if you don't give me the accolades that I want, or reward me, or pay me, then I stop working. And that's why it's loss of fulfillment. Or if I start making a lot of money, then what happens is then I don't, if I was just working for money, then it's time to quit because I already have what I want. So in both cases, it backfires. It loses the fulfillment. It loses the benefit to the community. And the result is the individual becomes a liability to the community. And worst of all, it loses the glory of God. Now, in summary, in the last 3 weeks, that's basically what I've done in the last few minutes here, to summarize the last 3 weeks. It kind of looks like this. Integrated life looks like a billiard table. Anybody play billiards here? Anybody? Whenever you put the triangle on the table and you set that set of billiard balls, that's really what you're doing. You're integrating. You're integrating the day, and once you set it up and you remove that thing, that triangle, what tends to happen is when you go to work on Monday, here's what happens. Okay? You get out in the traffic and there's this guy that's about to hit you. And you go to work and your boss is there to hit you as well. Okay? And then your office mate and this guy who's smoking when he shouldn't be smoking in the jeepney or whatever it is you're doing, you're now interrupted from your integrated work lifestyle. Is everybody following? And so as the week progresses, your week does not look like this integrated thing where I'm serving people. I'm fulfilling my life. I'm blessed by God. I'm not a liability. Your week actually looks more like this. It's a week of confusion. It's, God, I know that you're a worker. God, I love you. But there's just so many things at play. My boss is chasing after me. I actually have to work tomorrow on my Sabbath for about 2 hours because of an emergency. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how that works. It's my day off. But when funerals on a Monday, I've got to show up. Amen? When people are sick in the hospital, I've got to show up, even though it's my rest day. So how do I make that work? How did I make that happen? And so in summary of all of this, how do I, from an integrated, disintegrated, how do I reintegrate my life? And the title of this last piece is called, Thank God It's a Sabbath. It's the way you reintegrate your week. How do I start every week where I can get myself reconditioned, recreated, start all over again? My text for you this afternoon is found in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. It talks about how God had finished his work. That word is the word kala. which literally means completed, which literally means accomplished. When you work and you finish the work and you've got these cycles, that the number seven, by the way, which we're going to study in a while, is this idea of completed work. And they're not necessarily completed as in it's over. It's a cycle. You got 7 days and then 7 days, and you keep completing this cycle until you build from one stage to the other. It's speaking of this idea of completed work. And God had finished, and he's setting back, and he's watching everything he had done. It would be like an architect that who drew plans today, or a gardener who planted these seeds. And at the end of the week, he's looking at the gains of the week, all the things that have been accomplished. And he's looking at that. Now, it moves on, it says, and on the seventh day, God finished his work and that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. Now, notice that it says on the seventh day. On the seventh day, God finally stopped working. He had completed all the work, and he's ready to rest. And the Bible says he rested, and he had finished and rested. Now, that word rested in the Hebrew is the word Shabbat. Literally where we get the word Sabbath. Before the word Sabbath was ever instituted in the Ten Commandments, before Moses ever said that that was a required thing of God, the principle and the spirit of the Sabbath was what was important. Long before the law ever happened, from the very beginning in Genesis chapter 2, God instituted Shabbat, a period of rest, a period of recreation, a period of regaining your strength. It was a time to rest. To rest means to celebrate and to enjoy. And he said to rest on the seventh day. So desist from working. You've got to stop. And there's a reason for it. And we're going to look at it in a bit. He says on the seventh day, the cycle continues, that you constantly rest here. Why? Why was this important? Because he had finished all he had done. And so the importance of this is because he wanted to sit back and enjoy, or rather celebrate, what he had created. In a sense, when you celebrate your Sabbath, what you're doing is you're celebrating the accomplishments of the week. And justifiably, when you've worked hard, working the way God worked, when you worked hard with the work that God gave you, and you put in your competence and your excellence and all the things, then at the end of that Sabbath day, there is a place of accomplishment. There is a place of celebration. If you had done nothing here, there's nothing to celebrate here. Your Sabbath is meaningless. Your Sabbath becomes a liberal excuse to just get drunk and do nothing. Versus if you had put something here, I've worked the work of God, I've done the things that God has told me to do, then it's worthy of the Sabbath, worthy of the celebration. Because to rest is literally means to enjoy. The more you celebrate what? The things that you've produced. And you enjoy it. To rest is to enjoy, and to enjoy is to rest. Speaking of working in a gym, some people go to the gym and they get depressed. And some people go to the gym and actually gives them life. They're actually rested because they enjoy it. If you went to bed last night, but you didn't enjoy your sleep, you didn't rest. You had a physical sleep, but you didn't have a restful sleep. But if you slept like a baby because you had confessed the night before that God grants sleep to those he loves, and your sleep was deep and you enjoyed every second of it, you may have slept for 5.5 hours, but you're going to awake a lot more rested than the guy who slept for 8 hours who was stressed. Because you didn't enjoy it. Because to rest is to enjoy, and to enjoy is to rest. In a matter of fact is, there is a Sabbath day, but there's also a concept that's called mini-Sabbaths. That every time you break a meal, you're actually taking a moment to rest, acknowledging the need for God, acknowledging my dependence on God. And so the idea of this celebration brings us to two quick points here. Number one is legalism. There are people who teach after the service today, I had people come up to me, what day is the Sabbath? It's not the day, and it's not about the legalism. It's the cycle and the understanding of the rhythm of a Sabbath. As I've just told you earlier, there are days, there are mothers who can't enjoy a Sabbath the whole day only because they have a baby who cries 24/7. So how does she Sabbath? We're going to see that in a bit. The point is, it's not just a particular day. It's not a legalistic, specific day. It's understanding the concept and the rhythm of Sabbath. Jesus addressed this idea in Mark chapter 2, verse 23. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. Now, this is Jesus is walking in the Sabbath, and his disciples got this grain, and the Pharisees, who were legalistic, and said to him, look, what you're doing is not lawful. They're using a legalistic term here. It's not lawful. You shouldn't be doing that. Not on a Sabbath. Jesus replied, have you never read what David did when he was in need and was in hungry, and he and those who were with him, and he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, but also gave it to those who were with him. And then he caps it by saying this. And he told him, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. He said, there's a spirit here. The Sabbath was made for man. In other words, God made this special day for men. Men were not made to comply to a rule and a regulation. The whole point of laws is for men. The whole point of laws is to protect men, not men to provide laws. Are you following? He was trying to make them understand the Sabbath was made for man. It's not the other way around. In fact, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. If you hang out with me, even if you're at work, you're actually enjoying a spirit of Sabbath. Are you here? Now, while that's true, you need to understand there is a particular day on Sabbath. Now, that's one end is legalism. A specific day, a specific time, a specific way of doing it. And then you've got the other extreme, which is liberalism, which is the whole point is I'll just do whatever I want on a Sabbath day. And here's the world's version of that, work plus leisure. I'll work, and then I'm going to just have leisure. I'm going to drink. It's my Sabbath day. I'm going to watch movies the whole day and eat all the popcorn and eat the nachos that I can eat and drown myself in all the soda I can drown myself in, or better yet, even beer. Are you here? Minus the Sabbath or the Spirit. The Word of God teaches us something different. It says work plus Sabbath plus leisure. God never said you shouldn't have leisure, but he says in between that is this idea of Sabbath. And that's what I want to talk to you about this afternoon. Further in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, God said, God blessed the seventh day. What is the Sabbath? It's a day that's blessed. How many of you want to enter into a day that's blessed? That's what the Sabbath is. It's a blessed day. It's a favored day. It's a day of goodness. It's a day of all of God's best. When you start observing the Sabbath, what happens is your day literally gets blessed. When you enter that day, it's blessed. Now, it says that what is it? It's time to celebrate. It's a day to celebrate and enjoy. Exactly what are you celebrating? Here's where that work and thing comes together. One of the things is your accomplishments of the week. I ate clams. I think I ate clams Monday evening. I was out on a date with my wife, and I ate clams and the next day I was just sick. I had food poisoning, and I had appointments from morning till Tuesday, morning till evening, and I think a lot of people who come here think all I do is preach every Sunday. I have a day job, amen. I actually have meetings every day. What happened was the domino fell. I had to cancel the meetings, and I could only make it to, I think I tried to come sometime in the afternoon, but at that point I've canceled 4 or 5 appointments, and all of that had to move to the following week. In fact, my assistant was just telling me before I walked into the service, next week is going to be full. Every lunch moment is going to be full. And the reason why is because, but the point in saying all of this is, tomorrow's my Sabbath. Tomorrow's my day off. I work on a Sunday. I'm working right now. You're relaxing, amen? This is your Sabbath, okay? Yeah. How many of you know? You're all relaxing. I'm working. And tomorrow I'm going to relax. And one of the things I do at the start of the day is I celebrate the accomplishments of the week. I thank God for all that's been accomplished. I thank God for for healing me. I thank God that's what you're celebrating. When you work hard and you work smart and you work with the right heart, you have the ability to celebrate something. But I'm not just celebrating that. I'm celebrating the service that's been done. I'm celebrating the fact that I've served people, I've served God, and that brings me a measure of fulfillment. It brings me a fulfillment inside of me that really creates a joy inside of me. And when I understand that and I celebrate the Sabbath, and I just told you that I have to work tomorrow, but nonetheless, when I get up tomorrow morning, I'm going to have that little sheet of paper that I always have at the beginning of every week, and I'm going to have the Bible verse I'm going to read, and I'm going to start at least a good hour and a half to 2 hours of reading that Bible and spending time with God and celebrating and thanking God. Lord, thank you for the accomplishments of the week. That's what you should be doing on your Sabbath. And here's the funny thing about this. You know when you do that, for some reason, there's enough time for everything else. It's the big stone. It's the number one ball. You put that in place, you'll figure out where the rest goes. When that ball is missing, for some reason, you don't know where to put the rest. Sabbath organizes that for you. It resets you. It's actually from integration to disintegration to reintegration and causes you to come back to that place of finding where the rest of the balls are. Because when you set up the triangle and you put the number one ball, you begin to realize, where's number eight? Where are my finances? Where's my health? Then you begin to look for the other balls because you know exactly where the values fall. Sabbath allows you to celebrate, not just to celebrate that, but to celebrate work from God. That I worked for God and I've worked with God this week. And that's worth celebrating. And I celebrate the fact that, Lord, you've gotten glory for this. Glory doesn't go to me, it goes to you. And it's worthy of celebration. This person that I counseled, this person that I prayed for, this thing that I believed you for. This is what the Sabbath is. A moment to celebrate. Now, it doesn't stop there. Genesis chapter 2, verse 3 says, and made it holy. Now, theologians will tell you that whenever you find the word mentioned for the first time in Scripture, the meaning of that word is probably, in essence, found in that verse. And I need to tell you that this is the first time in the entire Bible where the word holy is ever mentioned. And it's interesting that holiness does not come from doing things. Holiness comes from resting with God. It comes from learning how to enter God's rest. It comes from learning how to have peace with God. And understanding how God wants to have time with you. That the word holy literally means to be set apart. To be taken special. God is literally, see, here's the reason why not doing the Sabbath is a sin to God. Because God, who is the most important person in the universe, set aside this day for you. Almost like saying, Joey, I'm having an appointment for you. I'm setting this up so that you and I can hang out together. So I can bless you so that you can be recharged. So that you can enjoy your life. So you can go back to Monday and do the thing again. And then you don't show up. It's an insult. That's when Moses had to say, listen, if you don't observe the Sabbath, there's judgment that comes with that. Remember my grandmother, who once told me, she's gone a long time ago. But I was a businessman and I worked very hard and all I could think of was money, money, money. I need more. And she looked at me one day and she said, Joey, you need to have a Sabbath. Because there's such a thing in the Bible that's called the forced Sabbath. And sometimes that's in an operating table. Because God wants to catch up with you. But you're just moving too fast. Too fast. There's an old African proverb that says, stop for a while because your soul hasn't caught up with you yet. She kind of paused because your soul is still there. You just flew in from New York and you're here and you're working here again. Your soul is in New York. Your soul is in Alabang. In other words, you got to pause. You're already 3 weeks ahead and your soul hasn't caught up because all you can think of is there's no integration of life. There's no integration of relationship. It's all money, success, promotion, popularity, and you're losing the integration that God wants you to have. You didn't get it. There's a reset. There's a triangle that He wants to reset. And He's made it holy. That's the why. It's a holy day. That's where they get the word holiday. They've turned it into leisure and whatever I want to do. It actually means it's a set-apart day for God. It's a holy day. This is your holy day. You're going to see after a while what you can do with this holy day. It's actually a blessed day. Now, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3 says, "For we who have been believed enter that rest." Notice it didn't say we do rest. We practice rest. It's actually something you enter into. So rest, in essence, is something you can do every day. You can have mini Sabbaths every day. You could take a break in a meal. Your boss should excuse you, amen? And pause for a minute. Bow your head and pray. Jesus, I'm entering your rest. I'm taking this moment to restore my soul. It's a practice. It's a spirit. It's not legalistic. It's knowing that this spirit and your heart and your soul can't do all of these things. There's a jam. There's too much work. You've got to learn how to have margins. You've got to have learned how to have space in order for life to work. And He says, enter that rest. Jesus Himself says, come to me. There's a coming to it. Rest does not happen just because you do it. I'm going to rest. Yeah, no. The way you rest is you go to Him. Come to me, He says, and I will give you rest. Because rest is not physical. Rest is actually spiritual. When you learn the rest and the rhythms of God, it's amazing how that flow allows you to make time for the right things. Now, He says further, He made it holy, because on it, God rested from all the work that He had done. How do you do this? Okay, Pastor, I get it. I got to rest. I've got to have Sabbath. I've got to have a reset. I've got to stop. I've got to get reincarnated. Let me show you how this works, okay? How? I start my Sabbath tomorrow. I'm going to start with prayer. I'm going to pray, read my Bible, and I'm going to craft my prayers. In fact, I don't do this just on my Sabbath. I do it extendedly on my Sabbath, but I actually literally do this every day. The only day I don't do this is on a Sunday because that's a very busy day. And I've got to work late to the night of Saturday to prepare my messages on Sunday. But every Monday through Saturday, I get up, I read my Bible, I pray, and the verse that I read, if I read Jeremiah chapter 27, I'm going to write a prayer based on Jeremiah 27, that I'm going to pray. And typically, after I read 3 chapters, I'll have, on a good Monday, I'd probably end up reading 10 chapters because I'm praying. I'm acknowledging the holiness of this day, that God, this is important to you. I'm silencing my soul. It's not the practice, it's just being with Him. And He is the Word, and the Word was with us. And I craft that prayer, and I begin to pray that, and I spend a lot of time praying in the Spirit. I pray in tongues a lot. Yesterday, somebody was calling me up in my house, and the helper came up, and she was looking for me. And I couldn't hear her. I was praying very loudly in tongues. And when I finally heard her, I opened the door, and the person said, "Man, I thought there was somebody arguing and fighting in your house." No, that's me praying to God, okay? But pray. Pray cleanses you. Pray resuscitates you. Pray realigns you. Pray adjusts. Pray puts the number one ball back in slot. That's the basis for realigning everything else. Prayer. And then I would pray that prayer. At night, I'm going to take the same prayer. And then I'm going to re-pray it. But this time I'm going to take, and I've timed this. Trust me when I tell you have time for this. I'll take my left hand, which my wife taught me, And I'll begin to underline each word of those prayers. Because now I'm activating my left brain. But I'm taking seriously the time of prayer. I'm resting. I'm slowing myself down. I move very fast. I do a lot of things. But I've got to slow myself down and pray. Because after I pray, I've got to step into peace. I've got to make peace with my wife. Amen? Because that's the whole essence of Sabbath. When you leave here today, some of you need to leave here today in peace. Some of you are going to leave here today and say, oh, traffic. Oh, you got to eat leisurely. You got to have peace. Take a walk with that child. Hey, let's you and I walk for a while everybody's eating. How's your week? How's everything? It's hard for me to do that with my children now because they're older. I used to do that a lot. I'd take long walks with them. Hard for a pastor because now my kids work. So I've got to email them, text them, pray for them, and peace. Restore that peace. And I spend the morning doing basically that. It's right around 11 o'clock, I start working out. Because I've got to restore. I've got to reboot. I've got to play. For years, my wife knows this, I would do my devotionals under a tree on my day off. I remember there was a time I knew all the birds in our village. I knew, okay, that's the brown one. Oh, that's the guy with the black tail. Oh, that's the guy that has this yellow thing in his head. Because I could hear their voices. And the Lord just taught me how to slow down. And it removed the anxiety because I began to memorize that verse in Matthew 6 where it says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor store in barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. How much more valuable are you than these, Joey? And it slowed me down. Really slowed me down. And for some amazing reason, the more you slow yourself down, you're not chasing money anymore. Somehow, the blessing of God comes. The Sabbath is real. And we've lost it instead of redeeming it. Play. There was one time I started playing. I'd walk around our village. I'd have a ball. You know, a ball is actually a better thing to play with than your iPhone. Trust me. Your iPhone will make you dull and dumb. Unless you're playing Scrabble. Scrabble's good. It works your brain. But if all you do is that's just going to make you, that's not going to make your muscles big. It will make your thumbs big. I'll play with the ball and just bounce it around the village. You know why? Because it says that when you play and you bounce this thing, it goes different sides, it activates your brain. And when you bounce it off and you throw it up and you catch it with the left and catch it with the right, there's something that happens to you when there's dynamism in your life. When you start to play, start to enjoy, start working out again. Start doing things again. Why? Because this is really what it looks like. That's really the state and the condition of all of us that come from work, when this is what it should look like. If only because tomorrow, this is what it's going to look like. Amen? God took the seventh day. He worked day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six. He rested on the seventh day. He didn't make you on day one. If God wanted you working first rather than resting first, He should have made you on day one. So you woke up the next day and what you see is Him working. He didn't. He didn't make you on day two. He didn't make you on day three. He didn't make you on day four. He didn't make you on day five. God made man on day six. Because His intent was when He woke up, when He breathed on him, the Bible says, and Adam woke up, the first thing he would see was not God working, but God resting and enjoying and smiling at him. Thank you for a day when I have nothing to do. Praise you. And you begin to declare that word. Restores your soul. Love you. I don't know what it is about me that you like when I look at the mirror and see myself and I don't like it sometimes. But thank you. Thank you, God. I don't know how to say it, God. There's no way to express how much I love you, how much I thank you that I have a wall of fire, that you've given me wisdom, that you've given me kindness, that you've given me a wife, that you've given me children, that you've given me this role to play, the grace to preach, this limited time and space on this earth. You can actually just talk to him. There was a time when all I did was walk with him and just kick the leaves. He just told me, just kick the leaves, Joey. Just watch. You know, it's a lot of fun. You don't even spend anything. Just kick the leaves. And everywhere I went, I just kicked leaves. And there was a time I would run. It was just different things, but play. Reset. Praise him. Have peace. Walk over. By the time you're done, you go to your wife and give her a hug. You're sweet because he's sweet. He restores your soul. The Bible says the creator of the heavens and the earth never gets tired or weary. He didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because he wanted a special day, a holy day, a day appointed so that you can go to him to enter that rest so he can breathe on you, to restore you, to maximize you, to fulfill you, so that you can go back into the world the next day and do it all over again and then come back and celebrate. You know what, God? Tell you what. Marie and I were counseling this couple. Lord, you should have heard them, and I know you did. This guy was one of the world-class designers, and he gave up half of his salary, Lord, because he wanted to have a job where he could go home to his wife and children. He's a world-class animator, and he said, and I asked him, Lord, why would you not work? Why are you settling for this low pay? He says, I can actually get paid 3 times this. But you know, if I do that with the kind of work I have, I'd be living in my office. I won't see my wife, and I won't see my child. And I made a choice. And I looked at him, my wife and I looked at them and said, you know what, you're doing the right thing. It's not about money. We did the same thing. My wife went home in 1989 and we lost half our income by faith. And you know what? My in-laws told us, move in with us. And we said, you know what, we'd love to, but we won't. And years later, we learned to trust in God, to enjoy him, that he works it out. That the money problems disappear, but you know what you get? You get God. And you get your relationship. And you get your children. And you get the muscles. Amen? Stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the Sabbath. Thank you for the revelation, Lord, that you've made a holy day, especially just for us, to restore us. To recreate us, Lord, to bring us that place of redemption over and over and over again. Look up here for a minute. Do you realize that the very intent of all creation was that day? The attention to detail of every flower, the intricacy of creation, the stars, the planets, the gravity, the laws, everything that God did. The culmination and the very intent was, I want to show it to you. Come here, buddy. This is how to live. This is how to live. And do you realize that that's the very goal of salvation? Come to me. If you're tired, stop, pause, get out of that. Run to me, and I will give you rest. Essence of creation and salvation is that place where you can run to him. Amen? Close your eyes. Bow your heads. And if you're saying, God, I've been guilty of not observing the Sabbath. And Lord, your word says there are penalties for that. But your word also says that if I repent, you will resolve that. And so, Father, today I'm taking it to heart. And if you're here today, there's some of you haven't been observing the Sabbath. You're just running and running and running. Sometimes you're already resting, you're still thinking. And God says, I want to bless you with the Sabbath. I want to bless you. The Holy Spirit wants to bless you today to understand the Sabbath. If that's you and you're saying, God, I'm ready to repent and I'm ready to turn away and observe the Sabbath, would you just lift up both your hands? God, you're watching us. Lord, our eyes are closed. We're not looking at each other. It's just you and me. From this day forward, Lord, I want to learn the spirit of the Sabbath, whether those are mini Sabbaths in the course of my day or an actual Sabbath day or Sunday, Lord. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to teach me to observe your Sabbath. Lord, I don't want to insult you. I want to enjoy you. I want to be with you. I want to be with you, God. I want to know you more and more. I want to learn how to pray, Lord. I want to learn how to have peace, even with those around me. And I want to learn how to play, Lord. You've ordained that. I'm asking this by grace and believing by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening. More messages are available for download from joeybonifacia.com. It is our hope that you will have a deeper relationship with God and others.